وما كانت من الخسيات من عند شلاكة تكشور النيل تامين التسمى الشيء بالذي.
So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is not teaching. His ultimate teaching is not that you do work and enjoy this material world, because he says, dukhalayama shashvata. This material world is miserable and temporary. So he teaches, mat karma krim. You do your work, but for my sake. This is practically the practical essence of the Bhagavad Gita, that how we can live in this world and understand Krishna. So for that purpose, developing this knowledge of Krishna, how we can see Krishna everywhere, that is being described by Krishna. And if we cannot immediately see Krishna, that to see Krishna fully, face to face, that requires advancement in devotional service. And even there is a platform beyond that, where the devotee doesn't even aspire to see Krishna, but he aspires only to serve Krishna. But the beginning in which we can't see Krishna 24 hours a day, even in our beginning stage of Krishna consciousness, by taking this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, that whatever we see in the world, we can relate it to Krishna. When we see an intelligent person, even materially, we can remember this intelligence is coming from Krishna. If we see a very knowledgeable person, we can understand this intelligence is coming from Krishna. Now, at least, especially in North India, probably not so much in Tamil Nadu, because people here are not so much inclined to Hindi language. Is that correct? I believe so. But in North India, it's become like a tremendous fashion. It's Kondanega Kropati TV program. In which people are asked different questions, such as, who is the founder of ISKCON? That question came up. And which god does ISKCON worship? Two questions came up. For your information. Not that it really matters, but anyway, it came up. So, people are fascinated that people, they have such knowledge. You see, they're asking questions and give the answers. And eventually you can win a crop, which the government will take more than half of in taxes. So it should be Kanmanega Ada property. But you have to have lots of knowledge, and people are impressed. You see, they know so many different things. So we don't recommend watching that program. But even if you are impressed, then you can think, oh, this knowledge comes from Krishna. Even in our devotional life, we see some devotees, they're very learned. So we should know that's a gift from Krishna. We should see Krishna everywhere and in everything. Krishna is teaching us this in Bhagavad Gita. So everything, every point of life can be analyzed. If you see it, you want to know what is intelligence, you study Bhagavad Gita. The Prabhupada gives such a nice, concise definition. Of course, elsewhere, in his purpose and elsewhere in Shastra, intelligence may be defined somewhat, not exactly differently, but more in a more expanded manner. In the Bhagavatam, in the third canto, there is described the different characteristics of intelligence. But here Prabhupada gives the essence that intelligence refers to the power to analyze things in their proper perspective. Very nice, in a nutshell. And intelligence, of course, acts on the platform of knowledge. Sometimes we say that some animals are very intelligent. You say a monkey is very intelligent because, just like in Vrindavan, they'll jump down and steal the glasses from someone and then take it to the bazaar and exchange it for some bananas. So you can say they are very intelligent, but they cannot develop the intelligence to study as we do in schools and colleges, because that kind of intelligence, that means that accumulation of knowledge. When knowledge is accumulated, then Of course, that is one of the functions of intelligence, to be able to accumulate knowledge. That's Smriti Shakti. That is, some people have intelligence, that they may be very intelligent at giving fast replies to others, but they can't remember things very well. I remember I was studying maths at school. I was good at mathematical theory, but I was poor at arithmetic. So I'd do all the theory for the equations wrong, correctly, but I'd make some silly arithmetical mistake and get the whole thing wrong. So, intelligence, that power of discrimination and analysis, that can be developed when there is not knowledge has to be acquired. Just like Einstein, he made so many theories. But first of all, he had to acquire so much knowledge about the different functionings of energies. Einstein was studying physics. So he acquired so much knowledge, and then he used his intelligence to analyze that, and then by the grace of Krishna, he received some inspiration to analyze in a novel way that others had not previously done. So, similarly, the proper use of intelligence is to acquire knowledge from Shastra. In the beginning of this lecture, I stated that Krishna consciousness means to see the universe in the same way as Krishna does. And we can do so by becoming Shastra Chakshu, by attaining the eye of knowledge that is received from Shastra. Krishna gives us knowledge in Bhagavad Gita, and the Acharyas explain that. This eye is achieved through the ear. The power of seeing in Krishna consciousness is achieved through hearing. Therefore it is described, Shrutekshana, seeing by hearing. By hearing nicely, we can see by hearing Shastra and applying our intelligence to understand Shastra. If we are blessed by Krishna, if we get his mercy, then we can understand the world in a Krishna conscious manner. We will see the world in a Krishna conscious way. Everyone sees the world differently according to the understanding they have acquired. Krishna discusses this in Bhagavad Gita, the different kinds of understanding acquired according to the modes of material nature. There's an example in Shastra of the forest. If a saintly person goes to the forest, he'll see so many trees, and he will think, these are all living entities, part and parcel of Krishna. Or he may desire to, at least in previous ages, the rishis, this would be a nice place to live and perform meditation. If a botanist goes to the forest, he sees the same trees as a layman sees, a non-botanist sees, but he sees this is a deciduous tree, this is a coniferous tree, this tree he can understand, this is trees, and he knows this is in this family, and this tree is suffering from such and such a disease. So his seeing is more deep because he has knowledge. Now, a lusty person may go to the forest and think, where are the women? Here's an example from Shastra. A businessman may go to the forest and think that, well, maybe I could purchase this land and we'll clear it and we'll sell the timber and make a building, apartment blocks, and now he can make, immediately starts calculating how much profit I can make. So everyone sees from their own point of view, from the understanding, according to their understanding and inclination. So a devotee, he is trained to become Krishna conscious, so that he sees everything in a Krishna conscious way. Everything he sees in relationship to Krishna. This is possible by practicing Krishna consciousness and by studying Shastra and by hearing from devotees, so that our consciousness becomes Krishna eyes. And we learn to see, when we see intelligence, we think, this is coming from Krishna. Just like Prabhupada used to give the example that no doubt many scientists are very intelligent, but they are not so intelligent that when Professor Einstein died, they could keep his brain and keep it working. They cannot produce a brain like Einstein's brain. So Prabhupada gave the example that we may be impressed by the intelligence of Einstein, or we may be impressed by the winner of a Kanbanega Kropati program. But we should know that that intelligence is coming from Krishna. Even the greatest scientist, he cannot create another Einstein. That intelligence is coming from Krishna. So in this way, by regularly studying and hearing from Shastra, we can see Krishna in everything. This especially is being taught in this chapter. Of course, Arjuna was seeing Krishna. He didn't have to. When Krishna told Arjuna, "Lasoham apsukamdeya," you can see me as the taste of water. Arjuna didn't go to the nearest stall to buy some Bisleri soda. Say, let me drink some water. Then I can, because Krishna is standing in front of him. He's a pure devotee. He's always seeing Krishna. So this is the goal of the devotees, to appreciate Krishna personally and directly. We can do that by first of all appreciating how Krishna is in everything and is everything, yet he is aloof from everything. The ultimate goal is to see Krishna not only as the source of everything, but as the Akhila Rasa, what is that? Akhila Rasa Murti, he is the embodiment of all rasas. Krishna, the Supreme Person. All the wonderful qualities are in Krishna. Even the bad qualities. Even the so-called bad qualities, when they are in Krishna, they are worshipable. If someone is a thief, if in the street someone is going and someone calls out, thief, I don't know what they say in Tamil. Everyone will come, what do they say? I'm sorry, in Tamil it's cup and whatever it is. Chor. Chor, Sanskrit word, it's used in Hindi, Bengali. So if you say, then everyone will come and pop. They'll take the opportunity, even though they probably all thieves themselves. One way or the other. But they'll come and beat him up. But Krishna is a thief, and everyone appreciates. Navanita Taska, Navanita Chara, Chitta Chara. He's a thief. He's a, another kind of Chara, Ranchara. He gave up, ran away from the fight. He's a coward. God is a coward, not exactly. But he appeared to be so. He is worshipped and appreciated. You'll find in Gujarat, there is a temple of Rancho Rai, and people are coming to see. They're worshipping him as the one who ran away from the battle. Because even the apparently bad qualities in Krishna, they are simply for nourishing the transcendental love of his devotees. The perverted reflection in this material world, even the so-called good qualities, they have no particular value unless they are connected with Krishna. Even one may be very intelligent, but if he's not the devotee of Krishna, then his intelligence is wasted. So if one is intelligent, if by the grace of Krishna, one has intelligence, he should use that intelligence in the service of the Supreme Intelligent by studying Shastra and learning about Krishna, who is the fountainhead of all good qualities. Krishna is speaking this Bhagavad Gita, and the Acharyas, they have given their commentaries which help us to understand Krishna. But as Krishna himself summarizes in this chapter, that, what is that? Nanto Divya. What is that verse? And he says that there is no end to my transcendental qualities. It's at the end of the chapter. Nandosti mama divyanam vibhuti. Yes, there is no end to my transcendental qualities. So Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita, which gives us a glimpse into Krishna's greatness. And the Vyasadeva is composed of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is very expanded version of Bhagavad Gita, which explains Krishna's glories in greater detail. And the Acharyas have given even more comedy. But there is no end to Krishna's glories. Therefore, we simply discuss. Krishna's given us this process. But I've given you Bhagavad Gita in my incarnation as Vyasadeva, I've given you Srimad Bhagavatam. So now you take and you discuss. It's Krishna Katha. Simply by hearing, just like this evening, I've been speaking. You've kindly given me the opportunity to speak something about Krishna. And you've kindly listened very patiently. And apart from one or two jokes that I told, probably you had heard all the things I said before. But still, we like to hear. Because by that hearing, because the topic is Krishna, we become purified. Shunu Sukadam Shubadam Bhavasara, that is described in the Dasavatara Stotra. That is a summary of all the incarnations, the Dasavatars, just like we sing here. Tava Kala Kamala Varena Kam Bhutashram Dalita Hiranyaka Shikitanadi Keshava Drita Narahari Jaida Vidishahari. So it's a summary of Nrsimha avatar, and like that, let us see. Keshava Drita, Dasharathi Rupa, all the different avatars are summarized. So, those who are hearing this, they must have heard before, just like you'll find in the ninth canto of Bhagavata, that in the course of describing all the different the Surya dynasty, in describing the kings in the Surya dynasty, Shukadeva Goswami comes to the point of describing Ramchandra Bhagavan. So he says to Parikshit Maharaj, I will now summarize his pastimes. You have heard them before. He was also, even at that time, people had heard, but still he spoke them again. He summarized them briefly. Because Parikshit Maharaj only had 7 days to live, and they had to come to Dashamskara. Krishna, especially Bhagavatam, describes the Swayam Bhagavat, the pastimes of Krishna, the original form of God, in more detail. But the point is here that we may have heard again and again, just like Ram Katha, people come to hear. They know the story. When this Ramayan came on TV, serialized, that was what, in the early 80s or something like that, then everyone was watching. All of them, they were surprised. Durdashan people, they were all putting out, they never put anything religious previously. They were surprised that the whole of India closed down to watch that. Now everyone knows the story of Lala, but still they like to see again. Why? Because by its very nature, it is attractive, and we like to hear again and again and again. So, Srinu Sukadam Shubadam Bhavasara. Even though we hear all these topics, Bhagavad Gita, again and again, by hearing, we become happy. Srinu Sukadam is a giver of happiness. And Shubhagam, our life becomes auspicious, and Bhavasara, we can cross over the ocean of birth and death. So let us go and hear him about Krishna. How Krishna is the source of all good qualities, all supposedly bad qualities. Everything is coming from Krishna. How wonderful is Krishna? He puts the whole tree inside a seed. How wonderful is Krishna? Let us go and consider. Let us know him. So let us pass our days in this way, hearing about Krishna. Hare Krishna. So I finished that. And immediately, we have a question, which is nothing to do with the class. Any questions related to the class, first of all? Can you write this last word more clearly? I can't understand what it means. Who gave this question? I just see. Yourself? I'm recognizing the handwriting. You have a lot of questions. He's read the whole Bhagavad. So more questions may come. More answers come and more questions. People are asking me questions. I also have many questions. I think I have more questions than you. Because if you consider the philosophy and discuss it, there's so many points, because Krishna is unlimited. We cannot understand everything. So many questions. So, our dear friend, what's your name, Prabhu? Ram Kumar, describing himself as the lowest rascal, trying to usurp my position. I can concentrate and count a bundle of 100 rupees at notes at any given time. It's one kind of siddhi. Also, anything we can do, it's all the ability is coming from Krishna. If you are expert in cooking idlis, it's also one kind of siddhi. But I'm not able to concentrate and fully absorb during chanting, kirtan and worship. Kindly explain how I can joyfully perform devotional service with absorption. Well, Prabhupada mentions here in this purport that asambhava, freedom from doubt and delusion, can be achieved when one is not hesitant and when he understands the transcendental philosophy. Slowly but surely, he becomes free from bewilderment. Slowly but surely. Nothing should be accepted blindly, everything should be accepted with care and with caution. So that we also see in Gita, Krishna says, Shanai Shanai Rukaraman, Bhutya Bhuti Bhutaya. This is in relationship with the mechanical yoga system, that it's a good instruction that Shanai Shanai, gradually we should make progress with intelligence and determination. So Rupa Goswami also recommends that we should have patience in devotional service. That for many lifetimes we have got a bad habit. We have the bad habit of not being Krishna conscious. So by the process of sadhana, from sadhana comes siddhi. Karma siddhi. Kam shantam karma nam siddhim yajanta yaha devataha. Kshipram imamushela, okay? Siddhi bhavati karma ja. Karma siddhi, that may come quickly. But then it's spoiled quickly also, because everything in this world is subject to destruction. But bhakti siddhi, that may take a little time. But it is permanent. Take a little time means, actually by the grace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it doesn't take very long. But still some patience is required. We're accustomed to, especially in the modern age, you want everything very quickly. Instant coffee, and instant, you see, phone, you can speak on the phone with someone in America. But for bhakti, we have to have a little patience. Did you read this lecture of instruction? So you can read that verse as described. But it's described that patience is required in devotional service. So how we can become absorbed in devotional service, go on, performing devotional service, performing sadhana bhakti. And gradually, if we follow all the rules and regulations carefully, and if we're sincere, and if we get the blessings of Guru and Krishna, then we can become advanced. How can something evil come from a perfect source, from Krishna? Yes, that is described that Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoy Andhaka. What is considered evil, it means an absence of Krishna consciousness. What is Maya? Maya is just like darkness. What is the meaning of darkness? In the absence of light, there is darkness. We have a discussion about it. So darkness is exactly the opposite quality to light, isn't it? But darkness can only be defined in terms of light, absence of light. So similarly, evil, there's a subnote here, not bad. Question qualities in Krishna, but in this material world. That evil means, or bad, means absence of Krishna consciousness. So because people are not Krishna conscious, therefore the good qualities of Krishna consciousness do not develop in them. That's all. It's not that Krishna is promoting badness, but he gives independence to the jiva. And if they misuse that, if they choose to live in the darkness of non-Krishna consciousness, then they become subjected to the conditions of Maya. Are the Pandavas incarnations of demigods? Well, they're considered, they're the sons of demigods. They're eternal. Associates of the Supreme Lord. Are they still existing? Well, Krishna begins Bhagavad Gita by saying that Natri Vaham Jatunasa Nam from Neme Janadipaha. That I, you, and all the kings present here, we're all eternal races. We'll never be killed. So certainly they're existing. Yes, they're existing. Prabhupada in one place says that Arjuna is always present with Krishna as a devotee in the material world. He gave that comment. So, are the Pandavas, are their pastimes repeating? Yes, the Pandavas are always with Krishna. Not exactly their pastimes, Krishna's pastimes. They're always present with Krishna's pastimes. That we find in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says that, you are my very dear and old friend. Krishna tells Arjuna that you are my very dear friend, and Bahuni maybe a titan, you have had many, both you and I have had many births. So Krishna says, you're my very dear friend, so he's Krishna's very dear friend in every birth. Prabhupada points out that by this analysis we can understand that when Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Vivasva some hundreds of millions of years ago, that Arjuna was also present at that time in some capacity. Maybe not exactly as Panduputra Arjuna. In the first canto of Bhagavatam, it was found by me that Bhagavat Shravanam is important. Can you explain if reading Bhagavatam is also the same? Well, reading can be considered an extension of the hearing process. There's a different term, Shravanam is one term, and Swadhyay is another term. And in Bhagavat itself, it's stated that we should do both. Tat Srimad Supatam. One should both hear Bhagavatam and study it very carefully. So both are important and both should be done. That is recommended in Bhagavatam. Actually, near the beginning of Bhagavatam, in one of the purports, Prabhupada has said that hearing is even more important than reading.
I've been researching for many years one book on, I've been making, which should be published very soon, on Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, in which it's stated, well, the devotee who was speaking most of the information to me said that actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he put much more stress on you should hear. He didn't even encourage the devotees to study so much. But he said, you should hear, that is, you should hear from me, specifically, hear from himself, Sattva Lai Soul. He was afraid that the devotees, because some of them may have a tendency to be, he said, don't be like a bookworm. You say that in Tamil, bookworm? Do you have a direct translation? You say the same thing? In Bengali, they say, boy poka. It's exactly the same word. It has the same connotation. But don't be a bookworm. Don't just become a big pundit. Seva mukhe jivada. By service, you can understand Krishna. So he recommended very much hearing. Of course, Prabhupada, he recommended hearing. He also, Prabhupada put a lot of stress that we should study his books. So both should go on. Both hearing and studying. And serving. And chanting. Taking prasad. Always preaching. So. But hearing comes first. Sometimes it's said that chanting is the first activity in devotional service. Sometimes said hearing. Actually, chanting comes first, but before you chant, you have to hear what to chant and why you should chant it. So hearing comes before that. Then if you're going to hear, you have to hear from devotees. So even before hearing comes sadhu sangha. So it's true that hearing, chanting is the first. It's said that chanting is the beginning of devotional service. That's true. It's the beginning of and so, but even before that, there are different levels. So the first thing, just like I said, Adho Shraddha. Even before sadhu sangha, there has to be a little faith. Because without having a little faith, you won't want to associate with sadhu. And then how does Shraddha come? That comes from sadhu sangha. So how does that sadhu sangha come? That comes by the mercy of